Working Cows Podcast, episode 129.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Howdy, everybody. It's Clay Connery, host of the Working Cows Podcast, powered by the Global Ag Network, here with another episode for y'all. And I have the privilege to share with you today my talk from the Holistic Management Canada Conference. It was an honor to be up there. Just a little bit of a disclaimer on the front end. This is the first time I'd spoken publicly without the Bible as an outline for probably since high school. So I was a little bit nervous, and I was looking guys like Steve Kenyon and Don Campbell and some others who had really just blown me away that weekend. I was looking them in the eye while I was speaking, and so I was a little intimidated, but really was really a neat opportunity to spend the weekend up there and to get to know some of the people in Holistic Management Canada and Organic Alberta, and thanks again to them for the opportunity. So here is my talk at the Holistic Management Canada 2020 conference.
So there I was, a fledgling podcaster with no audience, no history of challenging paradigms in the industry, having never moved a cow using a hot wire, sending an email to Joel Salatin, and 3 months ahead of when I wanted to interview him, I wanted to release this episode for my 50th episode, and I sent this email out 3 months in advance because I was like, I don't know how many degrees of separation there are between me and Joel Salatin. And when I send emails to people through their website, I kind of assume it's a black hole, that it's going to go there. And I did that step. Now I'll take another step and try something else. And so, to my shock and amazement, 48 hours later, I had not only a response from Joel Salatin himself, but a date scheduled to record an episode of my podcast, the Working Cows Podcast. And that story could be repeated over and over and over again with names like Alan Savory and Jim Garish and Greg Judy and other people maybe you have never heard of who had equally valid and important things to say. And I think that's a testament to the fact that these guys, these individuals, believe this stuff. They believe in what they're teaching. They believe in what they're doing. And they believe that it has the power to change family businesses. They believe it has the power to change communities, regenerating communities, seeing life come back into communities that have been struggling and deteriorating, as my hometown of Belfouche, South Dakota, has done over the last 30 years. Shops closing down and businesses leaving and people driving farther and farther to get supplies and different things like that. These individuals are so giving and generous with their time because they believe it. Now, I'm going to attempt for this not to be a 40-minute name-drop session of people I've interviewed. But I have this theory about public speaking. The first time you quote someone in public, you have to do it by name. The second time you quote them in public, you say, you've heard it said. And the third time you quote somebody in public, you say, I've always said. Well, this is the first time I've spoken at a ranching conference. So I'm here today, and I'm going to drop some names on you. I apologize for that. But what have I learned in 100-plus interviews on the Working Cows Podcast? In short, I've learned everything. Now, that is not to say that I know everything, but everything I have learned about using cows to improve land and people and economics and finance, I've learned through this process. this whole process of the Working Cows podcast has been, for me, an exercise in the Dunning-Kruger effect. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with what the Dunning-Kruger effect is, but I don't have a picture of Donald Trump today, but if I did, I'd put it up there right now, because he's kind of a picture of what the Dunning-Kruger effect is. He's got the best people, he knows the best things, he's got the best connections, and the Dunning-Kruger effect says this: the first time you learn about a new topic, you think you know everything there is to know about it. And then the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, until hopefully over a long career, you achieve mastery. But I think maybe you can guess where I think Donald Trump is on that scale of the Dunning-Kruger effect. But I heard him mentioned yesterday, and I wanted to relieve any tension that was in the room with an American here today that it's okay. I am all right with you taking some jabs. It's okay. So in preparation for this talk, I created a poll in my Facebook group, and I said, what has been your favorite episode of the Working Cows podcast? And I was a little nervous because early on it looked like maybe I peaked at episode 2. So it's like, dang, interviewed Joel Salatin, Alan Savory, Burke Tigert, a bunch of other people, Steve Kenyon, 3 or 4 times, and I peaked at episode 2. Shoot, that was tough, but put your mind at ease, episode 100 with Burke Tigert did win out in the end, so at least when I closed the poll, because I was comfortable with those results. So we're going to talk about the 4 lessons I've learned today in the 100-plus interviews that I have done to date. Just did episode 127 in my hotel room with Steve Kenyon the other night, so we talked about being a lifelong learner. It's going to be a common theme in this talk, but lesson number one, Kurt Pate said on the episode 12, a good stockman keeps the cow's head down. Now, this is a multi-layered idea. It's not just about working in sync with cows when you're in the pen, not just about working safely and keeping cows calm and responding to their body language and responding to their signals that they're sending out. It's about keeping the cow's head down out in the pasture, keeping the cow's head down out in the paddock, because if their head isn't down, if they're not comfortable, if they're not relaxed, if they're not eating, if they're not ruminating, they're not gaining. And if they're not gaining, you're not making money. So we want to keep the cow's head down. And I've learned this from guys like Johann Zietzmann, who talks about ultra-high-density grazing, and Bob Kinford, who talks about instinctive migratory grazing. And I've learned this from guys like Marcos Jeffers, who is literally regenerating the desert in northern Mexico with daily moves, and sometimes in the fast-growing season, moving every 12 hours. And in a place where he gets 6 to 9 inches of moisture a year, and he's seeing those desert grasslands regenerating. So the Working Cows podcast is a play on words in about 4 ways. First of all, we want to work with our cows. We want to put our cows to work for us. Whenever possible, we want to move cows to feed rather than moving feed to cows. And I understand I'm not telling you anything new today, but also we want to put our cows to work to improve the resources that have been entrusted to us. We want to increase biodiversity with our cows. We want to put them out on the land, seeing new species and new forages coming online, and we want to see increased biodiversity in the soil, and we want to see the healthy soils come into play. And then we want to work in sync with our cows in the pen. That's the second way that the Working Cows podcast is a play on words. We want to work with the cows in the pen. We don't want to work against them. We don't want to yell. We don't want to scream. We don't want to be aggressive towards them. We want to give them time to think and let them move peacefully as possible through the systems that we're working them. And then we want to work the numbers with the cows. We want to know how our economics and finances are paying off. And I'm sure you are all familiar with this, but economics and finance is it profitable? And finances, can we afford to do it? Economics is, should we do it? Finances, how do we do it? How can we make this happen? And then finally, working cows, we want to work with the people in our businesses, and we want to do it in a sustainable way, and we want to make sure that we are caring for the people resources in our businesses in a way that is sustainable, and not just sustainable, but that we're making stronger and stronger relationships in our ranch businesses as we go on, not withdrawing, but making deposits in those ranch business relationship accounts. Second thing I've learned is, oh, sorry, I forgot. I had some other pictures there to keep your attention. That one on the top in the back is from John Coleman Locke, who is grazing in the Gulf of Mexico in Texas. And whenever you send a request out to a grazer and say, hey, can I get some pictures? He's also going to tell you that that's 500,000 pounds to the acre with no back fence. So I wanted to give credit where credit was due. The other one came from a guy in Utah who was grazing irrigated circles, and he was doing some really incredible things there. So next thing that I learned, lesson number two, a good manager loves her soil first. Burke Tigert, on episode 100, said this. He said, when I first got into ranching, I get into ranching because I love cows. And then I learned a little bit more about what it takes to run a profitable ranch, and I said, I love my grass. And then I learned a little bit more, and this is, we're going to come around to a bonus lesson here in just a second. He said, then I learned a little bit more, and I realized I got to love my soil before I love my grass or my cows. And he's talking about loving your soil and your grass before you love your cows, to the extent that if you are going to harm, if you've come up with the best management plan you can and you're going to harm your soil or your grass with your cows, you should sell the cows. Sell the number of cows you need to sell so that you're not harming your grass or your soil with those cows in a way that's going to take away nutrients, remove nutrients. There's a couple of illustrations of healthy soil. Gabe Brown describes it as looking like cottage cheese, big aggregated chunks of soil. Nicole Masters, she said, I didn't really like that illustration, so she said moist chocolate cake is her preferred way of describing it. So whatever grabs you, if you're a ketogenic diet, I don't know if that's a thing here in the States, the cottage cheese could be yours if you don't care about how many carbs you take in, dive into that chocolate cake. So, the thing that I learned about the bonus lesson I was mentioning earlier that I learned from Burke Tigert actually came at the Ranching for Generations conference when I was standing there next to him, realizing that he was there to learn. A guy who has managed some of the largest Western landscapes in the States, a guy who has managed some of the most complex business organizations in the States, and he was there to learn. I mean, I think he talked for 5 minutes about management during that conference, and he was there. And there's people in this room, I won't necessarily single them out, but there's people in this room that exemplify that as well, and I really appreciate that about this community. Lifelong learning is an incredibly important thing. We can't ever get comfortable. We can't ever get stale. We can't ever stop trying to improve our ranch businesses. Lesson number three. Economic analysis is laborious. I learned that on episode 6 with Aaron Berger, where we talked about cow depreciation. And I struggled with the word here, laborious, tedious. It's not difficult, right? I mean, it's not hard to pick up the pencil physically. It's not, you're not breaking a sweat. You're not getting a callus. You're not cutting your hands on barbed wire. You're not doing any of those things, right? When you're doing economic analysis, it's generally safe. Right? But it's difficult. It's hard work. It's not fun. We tend to gravitate towards the things that we enjoy doing the most. We enjoy improving soil with cows. We enjoy moving cows regularly. We enjoy seeing regrowth come back better than it was before the cows left. And we enjoy all those things. And so we tend to gravitate towards those things. We love to tweak our stockmanship and become just a little bit better at moving cows through our system in a low stress way. We love all of those things. And so we gravitate towards those things and we just keep getting better at them. And honestly, I think it was on this episode, Aaron Berger said, we have pretty much maxed out the productive ability of these animals. I mean, we're not going to make many more gains. And the gains we do make in production are going to be incredibly expensive. Every gain you make gets a little bit more expensive than the last one, so that the gains that you make towards a 98% efficient herd become way more expensive than the ones that you were making with a 75% efficient herd, if you understand where I'm going there. And so we tend to be good at we tend to spend the most time doing the things we enjoy. We tend to be good at doing the things we spend the most time doing. So I think Kelly Sidorek said on episode 83, we need to be okay with not being very good at this at the start. We need to be okay with it taking a long time. We need to be okay with not being able to whip out a spreadsheet in an afternoon or something like that. We need to be okay with things not clicking the first time we try them. I mean, we need to put the time in, like riding a bike or whatever illustration you would like to use. We need to put the time in to get good at it and be okay if we're not knocking it out of the park the first time we give it a shot. So if this is you, maybe it's time to outsource the bookkeeping. Quality of life, right? That's the true definition of profit. Quality of life. Maybe it's time to outsource the bookkeeping. If it's not something that you feel comfortable with, if it's something you've tried to get good at, if it's something that you don't see many gains in as far as you making strides. So if this young lady is not you, I don't think there's any shame in outsourcing the bookkeeping. I don't think there's any shame in giving up some of that control. I think there's actually a lot of potential benefits for outsourcing bookkeeping in your ranch business. Because, let's be honest, how many of us get books done in time for taxes? How many times have we missed out on opportunities in our ranch businesses because we didn't have timely information? We didn't have the right information at the right time. And if all you have to do is give a bookkeeper access to your online statements and accounts, and they can give you those numbers, the management side, working on the business, is not doing your bookwork. Working on the business is understanding and making a decision based on what the information you received from doing the bookwork. Working the numbers, doing the bookwork, that's working in the business as much as building a fence is. Working on the business is being a manager of high enough caliber to make the right decision based on the numbers that you received. And so that's something, I struggled with the wording on that. Economic analysis is laborious, tedious. You could put in whatever word makes sense for you there. But it's not that it's difficult. It's just that it doesn't always get done at the highest level. And maybe you've noticed by now that I've kind of inverted this talk, and we're talking about the things kind of in order of what stands as a barrier between us and success in ranching. The smallest barrier for us is probably our stockmanship, because we love stockmanship. We enjoy doing it. The next smallest barrier is probably our land management, because we love the land and we love to make it better. The next smallest barrier is probably our economic, or the next largest barrier, sorry, is our economic analysis. We don't enjoy doing that as much as we do stockmanship or managing land in a regenerative way. Now, the biggest barrier, everyone struggles with people. There you are, Kelly. Episode 83, everybody struggles with people. And if I've learned lots of things at this conference this weekend. I was really and enjoyed the opportunity to be here, but I don't know that I've had a conversation that didn't turn towards people struggles yet this week. Everybody struggles with people. Everybody struggles with people. And so I don't have a fancy picture here, but I do have Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20 as an outline for how we handle our people relationships. So I want to read this to you, and then I want to break down just a few kind of key takeaways from this passage that I have gathered. Now, a little bit more background on me. I've been a pastor for about 12 years, and contrary to popular belief, this might shock you, churches have people problems too. So, yeah, that's appropriate response. You should laugh. Some of the hardest nights of my life have been after board meetings. So, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not take, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two or three agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So I want to highlight some things here for us today. First of all, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So, about the only exception I would be willing to make on this point, between you and him alone, would be a wise counselor who is outside the situation. You could check yourself. Hey, am I just being a jerk? Or should I really be upset about what this person, how this person dropped the ball, the way this person didn't follow through on the task delegated to them? Help me check myself. Am I being a jerk, or is this a legitimate problem in our ranch business that we need to deal with? So that's the first thing. Between you and him alone, I think everything else, complaining about a coworker to another coworker, is gossip. And so it's not helpful. It's not healthy. We shouldn't tolerate it. You've heard a lot of other people quoted, Wendell Berry and others quoted this weekend. I'll throw a new one at you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had a rule in his community in Germany. You were not allowed to talk about someone positively or negatively without them in earshot. His community in Germany, you were not allowed to talk about someone positively or negatively without them in earshot. Why is that? Positively, because he wants them to be encouraged. Negatively, because you shouldn't be gossiping about them. So we need to deal with things as respecting people's humanity, respecting people's individuality, talking to them face to face. Not via you and him alone isn't a text message. You and him alone isn't a Facebook message. You and him alone isn't a nasty handwritten letter. You and him alone is face to face. If they're making decisions that impact your business, you have the ability to talk to them face to face, whether or not we, including myself in that, right? You heard that? Whether or not we have the backbone to approach people face-to-face, probably another issue. But really, it is the issue. Second thing I wanted to highlight, if they will not respond, take a brother or two with you. Take a friend with you. Somebody who agrees with you. Say, hey, I'm here. And the way you approach people issues in your business is so important. It's not, you did this wrong, you messed up, you dropped the ball. It's, we want to succeed together. We want to do better together. And to do better together, we all have to carry our own weight. We all have to do our part. And so how can we help you help us succeed? That's the spirit of this communication. So it's not that three people get together and they just hammer on this individual. It's, we want to be better together. We're here to see you more successful in this business. We're here to see you entrusted with more responsibility in this business. We're here to see you succeed. So take one or two with you, people who you've checked with in the business and said, hey, am I the only one who's bothered by this? Is this really an issue? Okay, let's go talk to him. Finally, but if he refuses even to hear the church, then let him be like a tax collector, a heathen, basically talking about. And that word church just means gathered assembly. So this could be a business. So if he refuses to hear the business, it's okay. Some people just have to be let go. Some people just, maybe that's where they'll learn the lesson. Some people just can't stick around. Just because you have the same last name doesn't mean that everybody has a right to be in the business. It's tough to say, tough to hear, but it's the truth. And finally, so little disclaimer, probably should have done this on the front end, but I recognize that my pastoral ministry is under the authority of a board, and I recognize that you all have not submitted to the authority of that board. But basically, Jesus was on earth at this time claiming to be God, okay? And he says this in the last line. And usually this verse is singled out by college Bible studies of three people to make them feel better about the fact that three people showed up for their Bible study. I've been there. I've done it. Okay? So he says this in verse 20, Jesus speaking, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst." Now, the context of that verse is two or three brothers going to approach another brother who is letting things drop or who is living in sin in the context of a church or letting things drop in the business. So Jesus is saying, people conflict in business and church relationships are so difficult that you need God's help to do them well. He's recognizing that they're so hard to handle well that you need God's help to do them well. So that's, I think, a statement of the weight of everyone's struggles with people. You're not alone in that. But I think that there are some simple ways, or maybe, I don't know, simple but incredibly hard ways to handle it. Face-to-face, orderly, not gossiping, taking the issue to other people and making sure that you're not being a jerk, but that this really is an issue, and proceeding that way. So I thank you for allowing me to serve you with that piece. I guess a lot of what I've learned in people struggles is because I've made people mistakes. I said last night on a panel, I haven't made any grazing mistakes yet because I haven't done anything in grazing, but I've made every technological mistake. That's why I was sticking my nose in this, because I can help in some of those areas yesterday. I've made a lot of people mistakes too, and I've had to come to these conclusions because I have failed miserably to handle these things well in some of the relationships that I've had. And so I wanted to serve you in a way that comes from experience, if I could. So I thank you for indulging me in that. And another thing I wanted to say is that people, I have reached out to some of the best grazers and land managers and asked them, can we talk about people? You know, people is the biggest barrier to success in the ranch industry. Managing people well is the biggest barrier to success in the ranching industry. And I've reached out to people whose Instagram, Facebook, Twitter profiles would lead you to think that they're killing it, and said, hey, could we talk about people? If it's really the biggest barrier to success, should I not cover it on my podcast? And they're like, I don't do very good at that. You should talk to somebody else. So even if their filtered life on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook makes you believe that they're killing it, maybe not so. So I want to encourage you with that. Everybody struggles with it, but I think there's a pretty clear process of how we can handle it a little bit better. So I want to take an opportunity before we close here to give honor to some people. just walking around the conference, talking to people, getting a little bit of the vibe of what's going on in holistic management and in Canada as a whole. I heard there were some extension agents who recently lost their jobs, and I want to give them a hand and appreciate the work that they did over many years of serving ranch businesses with good information and good practices. Also wanted to give a hand to Dana Penrice. I think a lot of the legwork on today's events has been done by her, and I really appreciate her efforts. So, and Organic Alberta and Young Agrarians doing some good work, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. So thank them. Finally, give yourselves a hand. You're the 9 a.m. crowd. I'm proud of you for being here. So, thank you guys for your time. I guess I don't know if we're taking questions or if I talk too long or what, but if we, I'm open to questions, I guess. Okay?
Great presentation. You are a busy person. You're doing so many things. How do you find balance with, you've got four kids and your wife,
and all the efforts you undertake for others and for learning for others, how do you find time for yourself and your family?
Yeah, you just got to keep things in their place. You know, I've had in the transition period that I was in, where I was between churches and between working for my dad and living in a camper for 2 months with four kids and three dogs. Two dogs. We didn't have the puppy yet, but it wasn't enough chaos, so we introduced a puppy. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So you just got to keep things in their place. There was a time when things got out of whack and the podcast was following me home and getting edited, you know, at inappropriate times when everybody in the house was still awake, or I was staying up late doing it when I should have been trying to sleep and maintain some sanity. And so sometimes you just need that 2x4 upside the head reminder that you need to keep this in its place. And so it stays, I try real hard for it to stay within the four walls of my office. And I try not to even work on it outside of Mondays because I've got responsibilities at the church that need to be taken care of. And so I try real hard to just keep things in their place. And family, I had a great, and I don't have a graphic for this, I'm sorry, but here's an illustration. You hear people talk about different illustrations for where the priority should be. And I heard this great illustration from my mentor and senior pastor for 11 years, Paul Howard. He had this, he said, it's life is a wheel, and in the middle of that wheel is God, I guess, entrusting us with all the things that we have, and then the spokes are family, business, relationships, you know, whatever you've got are your spokes. And you need to pay attention to the one that's touching the ground right now. You need to pay attention to the one that's on the ground right now. And then when you're home, you need to be home. You don't pay attention to business stuff when you're at home because you're at home. And that wheel, that spoke of the wheel is touching the ground right now. So I think that's...
Any other questions?
I'll ask Clay's question. So what's next?
In what regard? With the podcast. Well, I recorded episode 150 the other day because I wanted to get it done. It's another one of those things. I learned something, though. You don't schedule that way out in advance. You just do it right now and then keep it in the tank for a while. So I got another chance to sit down with Alan Savory because he talked about, in the first episode, he mentioned this thing that really piqued my interest. As a guy with his background, he said, we need to save Western ranching culture. And I'm like, huh, why? Why Western ranching culture specifically? And the not too much of a spoiler alert answer is that he grew up loving Western culture and campfire cowboy songs and roping and different things like that. So there's a lot more to it than that. But I guess that's, does that answer your question? Yeah. immediate next is Cooper Hibbard from Montana coming out tomorrow. Tomorrow, Monday. Yep. So coming out tomorrow is Cooper Hibbard from Montana grazing 500 and some odd mama cows in some pretty difficult terrain and doing it with hot wire in the mountains and not impacting riparian areas very much at all, even though they've got water everywhere. So. Tim Hortons it is.
There was another question over here, I think.
This is pretty Canadian, right? But I did top in Canadian the other day, what I did the other night for supper, right? What's the name of the meat? Donair. So I had poutine donair, and I ate it with a fork shaped like a hockey stick. So, I mean, that's like as Canada gets, as far as I can tell, as far as cuisine goes. But... Yeah, they had the flag and I left it on my plate. I was going to put it in my hat for the weekend, but.
Well, thanks again to Holistic Management Canada and Organic Alberta for the opportunity. and really appreciate that. And very, very good stuff there. And I've got some bonus content that I'm going to release some way. I might do a highlight that I release into the podcast feed, and then some of it will be Patreon bonus content. I'm not really sure how I'm going to handle that just yet, but I do have some bonus content from the weekend, Don Campbell's talk in a bullpen session, or a kind of a panel discussion that they did with some of the leaders of Holistic Management Canada, and then a panel that I ended up being on because of another speaker's inability to be there. And so some of that stuff will be coming out. I'm not, like I said, exactly sure how I'm going to do that yet, but it'll be coming here soon. So look forward to that. As far as the immediate future, next week on the Working Cows podcast, we're going to talk to Dallas Mount again. They have just announced their upcoming young adult ranching for profit class in Sheridan, Wyoming, June 1st through the 4th, 2020. So if you want more information, there'll be a link and a flyer at the show notes page for today, workingcows.net/129. The only reason I'm doing that on the front end of the episode is because I'm not sure if that's going to fill up or not before we get around to releasing that. So I just wanted to make sure we got that out there as soon as we could, so that people would be able to get informed about it. But we're going to talk about the who, what, when, where, why, and how of the holistic ranching for profit young adult class in Sheridan, Wyoming this summer. So look forward to that for episode 130 of the Working Cows podcast.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.